Welcome to a bonus episode of the Encourage Podcast, a place where we talk about life's joys and struggles so you can feel less alone and be empowered by the hope Jesus gives. We love sharing books and resources with you, and today, Encourage Community Manager Becky Keefe sits down with one of our favorite authors. Listen now to their conversation and learn more about a book we love.
Grace Picho. Hi, my friend.
Hi, Becky. It's so good to be together.
It's so good to be together. Just how are you today? What's today like in your life?
Well, we are ramping up to get ready for school. So I don't have any school supplies bought, but we are going to find out our teachers today. So
that's exciting. A fun thing. And what grades are your kids going into again?
They're going into third and fourth.
Okay.
So I feel like we're getting into that upper elementary
totally
phase season of life. Yeah.
Yes.
And you have all older kids. So I feel
my youngest is going into fourth. So
that's right. They're the same age.
Yeah. Okay. And then seventh and eighth, which I'm like,
I mean, grown.
How in the world? Like I remember being in eighth grade and like I knew stuff and like, I don't know. And I also didn't know stuff. Very, very strange. Friends, hello, I'm Becky Keefe, Encourage Community Manager, and you, I hope, recognize this voice next to me, Grace Picho, who is one of our writers at Encourage, of course, and the regular voice of the Encourage podcast. And Grace, I'm so excited just to get to have a conversation today about lament, about hope, and then we're also going to talk about a really special and significant project that you are a part of that is coming out soon. So I don't know how to dive in from like school supplies, which by the way, I just found at Costco, there was like a multi-pack on sale for $10.99, $5 off. And it had mechanical pencils, regular pencils, Espo markers, what are those? Uh-huh, Expo markers, Sharpies, fine tip Sharpies, like all the erasers, glue sticks, like all of the things.
What?
And I just bought two. I'll split it between the three boys and I considered it done. So
that
is my
amazing
school supply tip. I was like, I will not go to Walmart. I will not go to Target, Staples. I just was already there and I got it. So that's
okay,
my tip
because
for you.
I was just there yesterday and now I'm like, I need to go back.
You do.
It needs to happen.
I mean, really. Okay. But
so that to lament.
But really, when I think about lament, one of the things I think about is the fact that God both created and welcomes all of ourselves and all of the different ways that we express ourselves, from silliness and joy to our deepest grief and sorrow.
Right.
So what is lament looked like in your life? And what's the purpose of it?
Things come to me in images in my head. And I think of, I rarely do this anymore, but when I think of lament, I think of the word anguish and the releasing of anguish in whatever way. But in my mind, I think of a woman who falls down on her knees and is just crying out from the depths of her being. And that's what I imagine lament to be. That's what I imagine the releasing of it, the releasing of the anguish to be. But it doesn't always look like that, right? It could look like tears. It could look like all of that anguish being stuck inside you and someone else's words or someone else's presence helping you release the lament that's inside you. And I think Psalms is a great example of lots of different kinds of lament in words. I think poetry is a great way of expressing the anguish inside of us. And I think that's why the Psalms speak to us in that way, where so many Psalms are frustrations and anger and why God, why, you know, those kinds of cries out to God where he's not, or they're not really asking for answers per se, but just releasing it from their bodies. That's just how I imagine lament to be, is there is so much that we're holding inside of us, and lament allows us to release that. Mm-hmm. And in releasing it, we are both connected to God, but we are, I think it's an act of hope. Mm-hmm. Lamenting is an act of hope because we're saying, God, you can, and we are asking for it to happen. We are asking for you to come. We are asking for you to come through, you know? So I think lament is the releasing of the anguish that we hold inside of us from all the pains that we experience in this world. Yeah.
Yeah. The releasing of anguish. And you talked about that it's also an act of hope, which is honestly different than what for a long time I associated with lament. Lament just seemed like the woe is life, or like the crying out of grief or injustice. And when I thought about like, oh, like to spend time in lament seemed to spend time like in the sorrow. But I can already think of instances in my own life how it does lead to hope. What does that look like for you? How has leaning into lament in whatever way, how has that brought you to a place of hoping?
I think the very act of lamenting, right? The sitting in the sorrow, is saying it should not be this way.
Mm-hmm.
So that act of saying like, it should not be this way, this, the pushback of that, the resistance of saying like, I'm not accepting that this is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is an act of hope, right?
Yeah.
And then in our faith, it's an act of hope of saying, God, we know this is not right, so come make it right. Like, we know you can come make it right. We know that you desire something else, and that you are able to deliver us. You're able to change things, and that it's like a embodied hope.
Yeah.
So it's like a, it's braided. The sorrows are braided with hope. The crying out is braided with praise, even of God, you are not like this. This is not how it should be. So it's all those things combined in the act of lamenting.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because when we choose not to release the anguish, when that stays stuck inside of us, I mean, I think it can have a lot of effects. I think it can even have, it can have a hardening effect upon our hearts. It can have a poisoning effect upon our minds. And when we are in that place of stuffing down, of holding our grief in, of maybe wanting to be in denial, I'm not feeling these things, or it's not this way. You know, we can't hope in that kind of place. There has to be space in our hearts and minds. And I think that that does happen with that act of release. Mm-hmm. And I think that lament certainly can happen just between us and God. But there's also something that we see about it happening in community.
Right.
And I know that you have experienced that in a powerful way. So speak to that.
Well, let's talk about this book then, because this book was birthed from Natasha Sistrunk Robinson, who is listed as the editor, but she thought of this project, and I feel like I've done contributor things for projects before, or books before, compilations, and but I've never experienced it in this way. One, this is a book written by all women of color. But it started, even though the book is coming out soon, it's coming out September 20th. Our community began 2 years ago. So she started gathering us online on Zoom and meeting every month. So she really wanted it to be not just a project we all write for and turn in and it's done, you know, but that it's something where we create connections and relationships and really experience community. And we needed that in the last 2 years. Yeah. We needed that in lamenting a lot of injustices that were happening in the world and in our lives. A lot of loss of loved ones, mm-hmm. from COVID. And so we needed to be together, and this project allowed for that. So there were so many times, I mean, I'm a crier in general, but it was being seen and mm-hmm. then being held, as good community does for us, where I didn't have to explain everything, mm-hmm. but that we could just be together. And then we understand there's like a shared language as we're grieving together and lamenting together. And so I feel like even in my faith, there were lots of times where, even though I felt close to God, there's just cynicism in my heart, mm-hmm. that's hardening it. And cynicism towards people, the church, Christianity in general, or Christians. And every time we would meet, I think there was, I've told them, I feel like I gained faith in these times together, because I am seeing God again, seeing that He is still here, seeing that He is still working. And so lamenting in community allows that release to be, I guess it allows for it to be held in a way where it's not just being pushed away. Yeah. It's not like, well, in a crass way, I feel like to say like, well, get over it. It happened. It's over. Let's move on.
Yeah.
But to say like, this really did happen to you, mm-hmm. and we are hurting with you. We are mourning with you, and it's that witness of God. It's the presence of God that I felt in these women. And I hope, as people read the book, that that's what you feel, is not only all the anguish that we've held in our stories from our people groups, but also, that there's a togetherness mm-hmm. in that, and that there is power in lamenting together. I think that's why, funerals have meant something different to me since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Particularly because when my husband's grandparents passed away, we were still in the thick of pandemic, where we couldn't have a pastor come up to the burial service. And so I led that. And it just gave me a different meaning of what does it mean to grieve together and to lead someone in the grief. Mm-hmm. It was just so meaningful to lead the family in lamenting, mm-hmm. in grieving,
mm-hmm.
and to say like, it's okay that we're just sad,
mm-hmm.
that even though he lived a long life, even though, we had all this time together, even though at least like all of those things, but still that we can be sad and be together, and say death is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, the communal aspect of this project, was really life-giving for me, these last 2 years. And I'm hoping that it will continue as the book comes out. And especially that as readers read it, it's written by women of color, but really it's for everyone. Or it's meant to be read by everyone, right? Anyone can learn from it. Anyone can learn to lament with us, and learn to hope with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it. So I hope readers feel that too. Yeah. As they go through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the book that Grace is talking about is called Voices of Lament. And I love the subtitle, Reflections on Brokenness and Hope in a World Longing for Justice. And that it's holding both. It's acknowledging and calling out the brokenness and allowing that to usher us into hope. And I'm so glad, Grace, that you said that it's a book for anyone who's wanting and willing to learn and lament together. I was reading the foreword by Latasha Morrison, and she said, she was talking about how she saw her own stories in so many of the reflections and poems, but she also said it was like an invitation to become students of our sisters, that there were things that she didn't relate to, or she didn't know about certain people groups or injustices. And, you know, I'm excited to read Voices of Lament so that I can be a student of my sisters and just learn in that way. But I think also like what you're pointing out about the fact that sometimes someone else's voice or words or expression helps us unlock our own stuck places of grief or sorrow. And, you know, when you're talking about funerals, it reminded me, I remember this was many years ago now, but a friend and I had lost a good friend to cancer. And I remember even as we were driving, making a long drive up to Northern California to go to Alyssa's funeral, and I was just crying. And I remember my friend Esther like thanking me for my tears because she hadn't emotionally been able to express that. And something about my tears and my voicing of sorrow and just the deep loss was of comfort to her and also helped usher her into a place of saying like, this is not how it was supposed to be. Go ahead.
I think, you know, sometimes when sad things happen or bad things happen, it gets stuck. Like we our brains go into executive functioning mode, and we can do all the things, we can plan all the things, we can sign all the paperwork, we can do those things. And I think it's a way that our bodies have been made so that we can function and do the things we need to do. But sometimes we need that help. So for example, your story of your friend, I think we know that tears can help us, but sometimes they just don't come, you know, even when we're thinking about the sad thing or when we're experiencing it and it's someone else's sorrow that helps us connect back to that, that opens the door. It's not that we're calloused. It's just that we need help sometimes, even to lament.
Yeah. It gives us access to that stuck place.
And in doing so, I think it's like, you know, like streams of tears that come together and we can all be immersed in this like sea of tears that will heal us in the end. Because like you were saying, when it's stuck inside of us, then we can't grieve properly. We can't, you know, it turns into other things. And really it actually hurts our bodies. We're connected so much with our emotions. So it will hurt us in the end. And so we need to find ways to release our grief, release our anguish, and lamenting communally through one another and being led by each other, right? Like you were leading your friend, whether you knew that or not at the moment, right?
Right.
And allowing her the ability or the access to cry too. Even if she didn't cry in the moment, but just to say like, it's okay to be here in this place of, in the sorrow.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think communal lament, it also somehow affirms or validates our anguish.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes we can feel alone in it, whether it's lamenting the loss of a loved one or lamenting, you know, injustices or sin that has been, you know, formed against us or whatever it is. And for someone else to say like, yeah, like that pain was real, that brokenness
right
matters. I think too of at my dad's funeral, and my parents had already been divorced for, I don't even know, 15 years, 20 years, a long time. And I remember afterwards my mom telling me that her favorite, it's a wrong word, but like her favorite part was hearing her sister, my aunt, sob behind her. Because obviously, like, losing an ex-spouse, you know, is a complicated thing. And yet, like, I think hearing my aunt just cry validated all of those years, nearly two decades that they did spend together, you know?
Right.
And I don't know, that just kind of stuck with me. Like, I don't think I fully understood it at the time, but since then, and what you're talking about, like, just how when we fully express our sorrow and lament, it gives freedom to someone else to do the same. And I definitely think that voices of lament will be a part of that. Grace, I also want people to know, and they will discover it when they read Voices of Lament, is that if they don't already know, that you're not only a writer, an editor, a podcast voiceover, but you are also a poet.
That's right.
And that is part of what you've contributed to this book.
Yeah, that it will be my first published poem.
Wow.
Yeah. So it feels significant. It, I talk about this in my poem about the releasing of lament. The poem is titled "Release in Me a Song of Lament." There's a tie back to my grandmother and something she used to do to release like an indigestion pain in her. Mm-hmm. And that was the thought that came to mind when I wrote this poem of, I need help releasing the anguish. And so that's what it is God help me. Mm-hmm. And tying it back to my grandmother, tying it back to the history of even my Korean people, and which is complicated for me because I haven't felt a strong tie to my Koreanness until my adult years. And so there's a lot of those things. And I think as you read through the essays and liturgies and other poems, there will be a learning of our sisters for sure. And to see the, I think like a full taste of our gifts, not only our history, not only our story, not only our pain, but the beauty of our writing and, the prayers and our poems. Yeah. And I do think for me, poetry has been the way that I've been able to express some of the heavier feelings or heavier pains where I don't have all the words to describe. I feel like for a writer, I've been very wordless for the past, you know, several years. I felt like it's so hard to pinpoint the words that I need in order to express the grief that I've been feeling. So, poetry has been that way that I can express with a lot of space between and offering it to the reader to read it in the way that will speak to them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what poetry does for us. I don't understand all poetry, but the poems that have been meaningful to me, it's because they created that space for me to enter in mm-hmm. And read for myself what it's supposed to mean. So that's what I contributed to this book, is this poem. There's actually a poem that several of us wrote together, which is, I've never experienced that. That was the first time where, like, how was that going to work out? None of us had known.
Yeah.
But it worked and it's beautiful. And so, yeah, there's two things in there that I contributed to, and I'm excited for people to read.
I can't wait to read that. And the collaborative poem that you're talking about, Encourage writer Tasha June also mm-hmm. wrote with that, right? And who else?
Magina.
Okay.
There are several other, Mariah Humphreys.
There are
contributors in the book. And so we came together and wrote that together. Yeah. So awesome. There are several other women, but
yeah,
those are a few of them. Yeah.
Well, Grace, I'm really excited about Voices of Lament and just what it's already done in your life and the lives of the women who contributed to it. And I know that that is going to bear fruit as it comes out. So it comes out September 20th, friends, but you can pre-order it now wherever books are sold. And any final words of hope that you would leave us with today, Grace?
Well, if you pre-order it, these aren't words of hope, but if you pre-order it, I believe you'll be getting access to the audiobook.
Oh, awesome.
So that's a perk. And I do hope people pre-order just to support women of color, mm-hmm. And for your own, I hope this is a book that lives on your shelf that will minister to you, not only in times of your own sorrows, but as a way to experience, and live through the sorrows of this world. So, may this book be the words of hope that people hold on to. I have no other words of hope to give you except, I'm really hoping for people to experience, the goodness of lament and how that will allow us to, be human again.
Yeah.
That will allow us to see each other as human again. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Grace. Voices of Lament, pre-order it today, friends.
The Encourage podcast is narrated by Grace P. Cho and brought to you by Dayspring, makers of your favorite cards, books, and gifts. Visit them today at dayspring.com.